Hello, and welcome back to the Well Women Podcast. I am Ashley LeClaire, a mental health and resiliency coach and consultant and owner of ALC Wellness.
And I'm Dr. Laura Pfeiffer. I am a naturopathic doctor, founder of the Period Passport online program, and her Time of the Month membership.
I'm really excited specifically about this week because it's my time to shine. Last week was Dr. Laura's topic all about poop, which, let's be honest, was super educational, made me cringe a couple times, and I didn't have much that I could really add to it other than my own poop stories. So now I get to actually educate from what I'm passionate about, what I'm good at, and I'm really excited to share some of this knowledge. So Laura, have you ever heard the term mindfulness before? I'm sure you have. It's kind of like trending, buzzing right now.
Yeah, like I've heard about mindfulness. I try to be mindfulness in my own life. I think that's going to be said really loosely. As the type A go, go, go type of individual I am. I know you asked me last week if I sleep. So I don't know if like mindfulness is my thing. So I'm really excited to learn a little bit more from you.
I think so many people come in with the same idea. So for those of you who don't know, Dr. Laura and I, we're both very much type A. Her more than I am, which I didn't know was possible. I sleep a lot, so that's great. So for me, what's really cool about mindfulness is initially I thought it was going to be really hard because meditation is challenging. Let's just be honest. Meditation is hard. Clearing your mind is hard. Mindfulness, though, is not the same thing. So mindfulness is a form of meditation. Absolutely. It has its roots in Buddhism. But what it is it's a much easier type of meditation than what we might think. Okay. So first, let's kind of talk about some of the science just to kind of build some credibility. So the science actually does show that mindfulness can bring improvements in both your physical health and your psychological health, which is really cool. It can change attitudes and behaviors. It can help relieve stress. It can even treat heart disease, lower blood pressure, reduce chronic pain, improve your sleep, and even alleviate gastrointestinal difficulties. So maybe I'm not doing it enough because last episode personal difficulties. It's also become a really important element in the treatment of a number of psychological issues. So whether that be depression, substance abuse, eating disorders, anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, and beyond. So it's become something that's used a lot in coaching, a lot in psychotherapy as well.
And you know what, now that you mentioned mindfulness versus meditation, I don't think I know the difference, like wholeheartedly. I've done meditation in the past, unsuccessfully, completely unsuccessfully. I find that I'm the person that's like making the to-do list while I'm listening to this recording, telling me to like feel every sensation in my body. And then I am thinking about when it's going to be over, to be honest.
Yes, yes. So what's really great about mindfulness is that it's what you do is you acknowledge those thoughts. So it's not that the thoughts can't be there. It's the fact that you let them come, you acknowledge them without judgment, and then you just let them kind of go. So I'll give you kind of an example. So if you were sitting in a, you know, even just me here sitting at my desk, you know, at my legs are crossed, I'm in my comfy chair. I can take a moment to just be in this present moment. And if a thought comes through, that is totally okay. So instead of putting the pressure on us that our mind has to be completely blank, because I think that's what a lot of people assume, right? Is that what you assume? Mm-hmm. Your mind has to be blank?
Yeah. Like I assume I'm not allowed to think about anything. And if I think about anything, I'm like, oh, I'm doing it wrong. And I have a lot of patience. And you're right. Let's just swing back to the research. The research is so good on mindfulness and meditation and really just like being present in the present moment. And so I also tell my patients, I don't tell them how, but I tell my patients they need to be doing this. And a lot of my patients are like, I'm bad at it. The end.
We just assume that we are. It sounds way more intimidating than it actually is. It's a really cool tool, actually, and it can help you become more engaged in activities and create a better capacity to deal with adverse events. So in my work, I talk a lot about resiliency and building resilience and how can we bounce back from adversity and from crisis and from trauma and from challenges. And mindfulness is a really great tool to help really develop your resilience. It brings us to the here and now, so the present moment. So this is something I think so many of us don't do, right? Specifically, someone like me who has, you know, an anxiety disorder and has suffered from anxiety for my entire life, I am constantly either living in the present or the past or the future. I very rarely live in the present moment. And it's challenging, right? And I think so many of us are like that. We get caught up in these worries. But what mindfulness allows us to do is it allows us to sit in this moment with whatever comes and to not have judgment and to not be cruel to ourselves in that moment, but to rather be kind and to be empathetic of what comes. So it's acknowledging what comes and letting it just pass through. So there's kind of a few different ways of looking at it. So if you think of a really, you know, basic mindfulness meditation would be to sit quietly and just to focus on your breathing. Okay. So, you know, you're just going to breathe in and then you're going to breathe out. And either you can say a mantra. So some people like to, you know, repeat a mantra in their head, or just simply focus on your breath. And then what you're going to do is you're going to just feel your breath coming in through your nose, out through your mouth, and you're going to continue to do this. And what you'll find is that things are going to come into your brain. Like you said, you're going to start making to-do lists. You're going to start thinking about picking your child up from daycare. But what you have to do in this moment is you have to acknowledge it. You go, okay, I'm thinking about that. I need to focus on my breathing. And then you go back to your breath. And you let the thought sit there. If it needs to sit there, then it's going to sit there. But what we want to do is we want to bring ourselves back to that breath and to that present moment. And when we do that, the thoughts quite often will, you know, kind of leave our brain space. Okay. So that's a really, really simple one. Another one is to focus on the...
Can I just interject here? I wonder how... I'm just thinking about this. The first thought that came to my mind when you told me to take a breath was like, I don't remember the last time I breathed.
Right?
Like I go through my day, especially today, like you and I were talking about how I saw patients from literally 9 to 2 with 0 minutes in between. And I'll be sitting at my computer so focused, doing my charting, doing my patient treatment plans, all of the things. And I will breathe, like take a deep breath. Like obviously I'm breathing, I'm alive, but like, I don't actually realize I don't take a deep breath. Like I'll sit there and I'll take a deep breath. And I'm like, I don't remember when I did that last.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is so common. And also for so many of us, a deep breath can actually be almost painful. For people who don't practice it often, and for people with anxiety like myself, sometimes quite often taking a deep breath is challenging. So when taking, you know, doing our deep breathing, it's really like breathe as deep as you can, and slowly it will start to get deeper and deeper, and not putting, you know, too much pressure on ourselves to be perfect at this, because even breathing can be a challenge. And that's, you know, really unfortunate. So the more that we do it, the easier it's going to get. And the more often you're going to find yourself doing that throughout your day.
I find that that's one of my biggest struggles. It's like you take a deep breath and then I feel like, oh, I can't do it all the way. And then you get anxious that you can't breathe all the way. And then you feel like you can't breathe. And then you get into this like anxiety spiral of not being able to breathe or thinking that you're not able to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Breathing is such a... It's the first thing that I tell my clients that we need to work on when there's any sort of anxiety in their life. This is kind of going on a bit of a tangent from mindfulness, but I don't really care because I think it's really important. Being able to slow your breathing and to actually be able to breathe deeply is something that will change your life ultimately. Either quite often we're short breaths. Like we're going to, you know, breathe in, breathe out really quick and really short. And we're just going to kind of go into that automatic function. The second that, like I just did with you, stop you and ask you to deep breathe. It not only, now you have to be mindful of it. You actually have to think about it. You have to take the time and actually stop and force your body to do it. And the more that you know, have your body practicing that, the easier it's going to get. But even just acknowledging the fact, Laura, that that was challenging for you is a piece of mindfulness in itself. So being able to identify the sensation that you're feeling. So feeling that, okay, that, you know, that was hard for me. It only maybe made it to my belly button, or maybe it only made it to, you know, just under my breastbone, wherever that breath made it, being able to identify that is in itself a mindful activity. And then being able to say, okay, I also feel anxiety with that. That is, again, practicing this mindfulness, because you're identifying the sensations that come with it. So that is a really kind of an interesting thing that you've brought up. And it also allows us to connect our physical body with our emotions, right? Because a lot of the times we don't do that. And it's so important that we do. It's important that we are identifying, you know, what are we feeling in this moment? And that's a lot of what mindfulness is too, is how do we take the time to really look at how we're feeling, and how can we sit with that emotion without judgment and accept it and then let it go. Right.
Yeah. And I think it's scary as a, excuse me, as a mom, I think that mindfulness, if you're a new mom, you can probably resonate with this. When you're in the thick of having a newborn, and especially if it's your first baby and you are going through all of the sleep deprivation and all of the things, like I look back and I feel a few things. I feel guilt about maybe not being more in the moment with a lot of different things, because kids grow so quickly. And I also felt like, I remember in the moment just wanting it to pass, because I was so tired and he was crying and I wasn't sleeping and I was stressed and I was overwhelmed. And you want so many moments to pass that you don't live in them. And I feel like that's how a lot of us live our lives. We go on autopilot and we just let things pass, and you look around and years have gone by and you're like, holy crap, where am I? And I think part of that is being present, but I think part of that is, like you mentioned, like forgiving yourself for doing things as well, like not living in the past, because that's what I was doing when I was feeling guilty about that. And I remember I the first few weeks I had spoken to a friend of mine who also had a baby the same time as me, and she was mentioning something about tummy time, and I was like, what the hell is tummy time? Like, I'm just trying to survive over here. And then I felt guilty again for not like doing activities with Leo and like being right there while he was doing, like, I mean, spoiler alert, his neck is fine. His neck has always been fine. But like, I remember feeling so, because you're so in a postpartum overwhelm of hormones and cloud and like busyness and fatigue and everything, being mindful postpartum is, I'm just thinking like, maybe this is something you should teach a course on, because like, I didn't have any of that. And I wish I did, because babies grow quick. But I know it's kind of off topic, but like, I just felt with the mindfulness, I felt like that connection between being a new mom and like watching a baby grow and wanting half of the moments over and wanting half of the moments to stay.
I'm so glad you brought that up. First of all, I'm definitely not qualified to run a course on this. This is especially postpartum course. Oh my gosh, that would be just a disaster.
No, I mean, mindful moms, like, this is a problem.
If anyone wants to create a course on that, let me know. I will help, and I will cheer you on, and we'll be fine, but I'm not doing it. And the reason I'm not doing it is because it sounds so painful, what you just said. I'm so glad that you shared it, because I'm certain that so many moms have sat in that space and are still sitting in it thinking, damn, I wish I would have taken the time to connect with that experience. You know, everyone says they grow up so fast. But you're right. When you're in the heat of, well, I don't know this, but I imagine when you're in the heat of that, you're like, get this over with. I'm done. When are they going to be 18 and move the hell out? Yeah. And the guilt that comes with that, I imagine, is just so painful. But so I want to say that this is, you know, something we can all implement. Come on, when you're in the heat of these moments, it is really friggin' hard. So in itself, mindfulness in itself is removing judgment from things. So we need to remember that just because maybe you're not capable of doing this perfectly, that's the best thing about mindfulness. There is no perfect way. It's identifying that maybe you're not doing this as often as you would like to, or, you know, just being able to really sit in what you're feeling is the power of this. So let's take that example with Leo and tummy time. If, you know, in that moment you're thinking, oh shit, like I probably should have known this. Like maybe you were thinking, you know, I'm such a bad mom or whatever came with those thoughts of, you know, I probably should have been doing this earlier. If even in that moment, if you just sat with it and thought, okay, what am I identifying right now? I'm identifying that I feel guilt, that I feel shame, that I feel like I'm not a good mom. Where do I feel it in my body? You probably felt something in your gut. Maybe your heart was racing. Maybe your breathing was, you know, fluctuating. Just being able to do that makes you so self-aware and then trickles into the rest of your life. So instead of it being something that you actually have to like seriously sit and think about every time, it starts to become more second nature. So for me, it's become to the point now where pretty much when I feel a bodily sensation or an emotion, I can identify almost instantly where that's come from, almost instantly, because I've practiced that for long enough to be able to say, where's, you know, what am I feeling? Where is this coming from?
See, I feel like I ignore mine.
Right. And so many people, Laura, so many people. And I think in the work that I do, I've just been taught from, you know, the second I started school that you need to be self-aware and you need to be able to regulate in order to support others. Right. So, working in my field, that's just been something I've had to do for survival ultimately. But so, okay, where was I going with this? We got a little off track.
Yeah,
kind of. But what I think is interesting in the sense of being mindful in these moments of not only as a parent, because of course we want to remember these moments and we want to take them in, sitting with, you know, I know sometimes, you know, you can be sitting on the floor with your son and he's playing with his blocks or whatever he's doing, just sitting there, feeling your butt on the floor, feeling his back against your leg, you know, watching him, using all of your senses, you know, smelling what's in your Instapot, because I know you use your Instapot all the time.
Oh yeah.
Engaging with all of your senses is going to, again, be a form of this mindfulness and bring you to the present moment. The more we engage our senses, the more present we are. And then the memories are also going to be more intense, right? Because the more we use our senses, the more intense our memories are going to be. Mm-hmm. What I think kind of from my life, because I'm obviously not a mom, but in my dating life, this has really changed how I date. I used to find that I would go into like autopilot almost of like dating was just you go, you know, experience your date, you ask some questions, you answer some questions, you might feel a spark, you might not, but I never really like really sat in it. You know, I never really engaged all of my senses into this experience, and dating got way more enjoyable and it became, you know, the connections became so much deeper because I was actually able to sit in the moment and to be grateful for them and to experience all the sights and the sounds and the smells and everything that came with that. Right. And it's the same with spending time with family. It's so easy to go into that overdrive or autopilot or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And to just, you know, go through the motions instead of actually...
Can we relate? I was going to say, can we relate this to like sex? Because I feel like a lot of
absolutely
women can relate this to sex.
And orgasms. So yeah. I'm sorry, because I'm pretty sure my parents are going to listen to this, but I find that when I tune into my mindful brain, well, I'm going to call it that. That's kind of, you know, where I'm going to go with this.
Sure.
And I feel the sensations of sex more than normal because you're feeling it all, right? So if I what I do, one trick, and all of you should try it because it's fantastic, is to focus on all of the feelings that are going on in your vagina and in your clitoris when you're having sex. Like, focus your entire brain on it. Like, yeah. I block everything else out and I just focus on that. And just being present, and my breathing. So that and my breathing, I like sync my breathing with my, like, the feelings that I'm actually physically feeling. And it is like crazy. Because yeah. so often our brains are going 100 different places. Yeah. And, you know, we're thinking about that and we're thinking about this and we're thinking about our to-do list and we're, you know, looking at the ceiling and we're blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. Like,
well, and when you think about, like, I'm just thinking about while you're talking about mindfulness, obviously I'm not being mindful because I'm thinking about other things. I'm thinking about my patients that I speak to, and I'm like, they talk about how their sex drive is low. And by the way, in her time of the month, we're talking about sex drive in February. So excited for that, because it's something a lot of women don't talk about. But we talk about sex drive and they say, oh, my sex drive is low. And then I'm kind of like, but once you get into it, are you into it? And they're like, well, yeah, because women take time to warm up and yes. men generally don't. And so being mindful in that and stop thinking about the dishes that you have to do and the list that you have to do and be more mindful in that setting and that space can also get you closer with your partner.
Absolutely. Even just sitting on the couch before sex, like sex doesn't even have to be on the table yet. Yeah. If you're just sitting there looking at them, smelling them, like, and obviously, you know, you can sniff their armpits if you want. I used to do that with one of my exes. It was weird, but
I
loved it. And I loved it. It was great. Anyways, so if you're just sitting in that moment and you're, you know, experiencing all the senses of this and you're not thinking about the dishes that need to be done or that you might have hair on your legs or whatever, you know, all the things that go through us women's brains before we think we can feel sexy. If you just stop and actually feel all of the feelings that are going on, probably your sex drive is there. It's there. Yep. It's yep. just usually we put it behind 10 other things, right?
Yep.
And I definitely have felt the positive impact of being able to kind of block out the rest of the chaos and just focus on that exact moment of and in engaging all of your senses. Is really yeah. important, right?
Yeah, I think about when you're talking, I'm thinking about, well, I thought about sex and being present there. And then I also thought about like the times that I've driven somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's scary. It's you get there and you're like, how did I get here?
Absolutely. And you know what? That's actually a kind of a cool way to maybe start being mindful in a really easy sense. Like we all drive, well, most of us do, and most of us drive every day. So next time you get in your car, do it mindfully. So it's a very easy exercise to try and it'll keep you safer. Like, be mindful, like feel the handle when you open the handle, feel your butt hit the seat, feel your arm, put your seatbelt on, feel your hands on your steering wheel, like do these things and feel each of it and acknowledge each of it. You know, if someone cuts you off, acknowledge that feeling that you're having when it happens. That in itself is a mindfulness exercise.
It doesn't always have to be positive.
Well, yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah. The first mindfulness exercise I was ever taught was mindful eating. And I was given a raisin and I was told to mindfully eat a raisin. And how it went was, you examine the raisin, you look at the raisin, you feel the raisin. Then you eventually put the raisin in your mouth, you taste the raisin, you move it around in your mouth, then you chew the raisin. And anyways, so on and so forth, I ate the damn raisin, but, you experience all of that. And when other thoughts started to come in, cause you're trying to focus on the present moment, which is this raisin. If I started to think about my assignment that was due or my boyfriend at the time, it was like, nope, thank you, you're here, but I'm focusing on this raisin. And then I would go back to the raisin, right? So you can do that in every aspect of your life, really. But we're so conditioned to have like 5 million things going on and to be having, you know, notifications here and notifications there and people need you here and, you know, your husband needs you over there. Damn husbands. Every time I say it, I'm just going to make a little comment about the fact that I don't have a husband. If anyone knows anyone single, I'm in. I'm here.
but here's what I'm going to say about that is also going back to our last episode on digestion, eating mindfully, breathing while you eat, activating that parasympathetic nervous system mm-hmm. will improve your digestion. And so it goes beyond just anxiety and just wanting to be present with your children, but we need to optimize our digestion. And part of that is mindful eating.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. It, that's one thing I don't do is mindfully
eat. Neither. You should see my son eat. It is. I'm like, oh, I've created a monster. I eat fast. My husband eats fast. I've always been a fast eater. It's awful. It is horrible. And it is not okay. But it's how I grew up. It's like my dad always ate fast. And if you weren't, like, my brother is a sloth eater. And if you weren't finished, like, you were slow. And so when I met my husband, like, he happens to be a fast eater as well. So I'm done after him. But anytime I go out to eat with my friends, I am always the first one.
Same. I feel like, well, we went for lunch not too long ago, and you're right, we did kind of eat at the same pace.
Yeah, no, we're good. We can't. Yeah.
I like scarf my food. So mindful eating is not something I thrive at. Mindful sex, absolutely. but again, priorities, right? So I don't, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I might mindfully eat cheese. That would probably be one of the things I do. But I think, so I want to know now, after we've had this conversation, how do you feel about mindfulness? Like, does it feel more accessible?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I actually really realized how many like places in my life that I actually should be using it, or maybe do kind of use it, but like it needs some work. But I just, a lot of people look at it as like this big meditation thing where you have to sit in a room by yourself with your legs crossed and listen to a body scan, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's not what they have to do. It's about just being present in your everyday life. And we all have so many issues with that. Like for me, I had to turn off, for those of you who message me on Instagram, I turn off my notifications because I only want to be on Instagram when I'm on Instagram. I don't like the like notifications. I don't care if somebody posted a photo. I'll see it when I go on the app, because it was moving me away from all of the things that I wanted to be present in my life.
That's great. I'm so proud of you for doing that. That's amazing. Especially knowing kind of how, who you are and how you function. It's way more accessible than we've been told. And now, mind you, there is a piece of it that is absolutely the sitting cross-legged, doing your deep breathing. It is partly, you know, body scans can be part of it. Breathing is always going to be a piece of it, because we need to be engaging our body in this. But it doesn't have to be these big, you know, extravagant, I need to carve out 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever. It's like, no. Take 30 seconds right now and, you know, do a couple deep breaths and tell me how you're feeling. You know, it can be much easier to implement. And the more we implement it, the more it becomes second nature and we don't think about it. There are some apps as well. I'm sure most of you have heard of different apps that can be used for this, but there's an app called Headspace. There's an app called Calm. Personally, like if you have a Spotify account, like I just use, if I'm going to do a full body scan so for those of you who don't know what a full body scan is, I guess I should give that information. So that's where you would typically lay down on your back in your bed, often in the dark, close your eyes, do some deep breathing, and then the person who's speaking to you through the recording would talk you through a scan of your entire body, typically from your toes to your head or your head to your toes, and you feel each piece of your body slowly. And it's a very, very good relaxation technique. So mindfulness meditations, not just body scans, but of all types, are available on Spotify. Super easy. Not to mention just meditation music in general, just having that sometimes in the background can be really nice and relaxing and kind of help keep you present if you're listening to something that is a little bit more soothing. My Fitbit has a feature, so I have the Versa. I can't remember what the features called, I don't know if it's called Breathe or what it's called, but anyways, you press it, Calm maybe, and it shows you on the Fitbit, it like, there's a circle and it gets bigger and smaller and you breathe circle, which can be really helpful because you can do that anywhere. No one needs to know you're doing it, right? Like you could be sitting at work and click it on and just have it in your lap and just do breathing. That's actually bringing work into this. I have worked in very, very stressful environments. And one thing that I would always do, so I could be in session with a client who's in a major crisis, and of course I have to keep my cool. Something that I find really helpful, and you know, you as well, Laura, just doing the work that you do, anyone, sitting in your chair at work, putting 2 feet on the ground flat and breathing and feeling your breath. And I don't want you to like disengage from the world around you, because obviously if you're working, like you need to be engaged with what's happening. But just to feel like when I plant my 2 feet on the ground, to feel that grounding piece and then to engage your breath can be extremely powerful and can really slow down the rest of your body. So if you're getting triggered in any sense of the word, you know, if someone around you is going into crisis, or you're stressed out because you have appointments from, you know, 8 to 2 or whatever that looks like, putting 2 feet on the ground, doing some deep breathing, and then typically you can, you know, continue to engage in the rest of your day. So it can be relatively quick and easy. It doesn't have to be these big things.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And it is quick and easy and can be, but we often don't make time for things that are like, you could do this in 30 seconds. And I feel like people just need to kind of make it part of their day and part of their lifestyle. But one thing I wonder about this, like, I guess the world and the lack of mindfulness is the attention spans of, I don't know, I guess, our age group, younger. How do you think that plays into it?
I think that's maybe why mindfulness is so great, is because we don't have attention spans that are very great right now. We are constantly being bombarded with other things. We are go, go, go. We do have lots of things that are expected of us. We're so used to moving on to the next thing quickly that I think anyone who does like traditional meditation, good for you. I want to know all your secrets and I wish you could teach me. But I don't have the interest, I guess, only because like there's the time piece, there's the fact that I'm type A, there's the fact that I don't have the attention span to do it and to actually learn it. But mindfulness is something so simple and can have such good results and takes a fraction of the time. So, you know, it's a pretty cool option. And I hope that today some helpful pieces of information were able to arise. Now, there's so much information on mindfulness online. So please, 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 if this is something that has interested you when we've been talking about it, go, I know we don't love Dr. Google, but go onto Google and, you know, search some mindfulness techniques. There's so many different options. And you can really gain a better understanding further to this conversation. I'm also going to be posting some tips and tricks on my Instagram account about mindfulness. So you can check that out and see if that's helpful as well.
Yeah. And it's so funny because we talk about breathing and there's actually, you already mentioned the research in breathing and mindfulness, and actually diaphragmatic breathing. Can't speak, has been shown to reduce cortisol levels. And so in my Period Passport program, this is part of what I put members through, is through when we're talking about stress and managing stress, we talk about breathing and just like doing very simple lifestyle things to help manage stress. When we help manage stress, we help manage our period problems. And so it really kind of comes full circle.
It absolutely does. It's so interesting how all the things that we talk about and will continue to talk about on this podcast connect, right? Like the digestion connecting with, you know, our mental health, our physical health, and then the breathing. It's everything is so interconnected. So I think that's been a really cool option for us to, again, use our expertise and be able to bring these things together.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I appreciate your expertise today, Ashley. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I think that's great. I'm so glad that we got to share this information, and I look forward to our next episode because it's going to be a good one.
Yes. And as always, follow us on social and ask us if you have any questions or any topics that you want to suggest. Let us know. Like I said, it's all about giving you guys information, helping you feel empowered and educated, and hopefully giving you something new you learned every day.
Yeah, go try having sex, thinking and being mindful of your vagina. It will change your life. And then report back to me. Let me know how it
goes. Yes, report back. Let us know the mindful sex, how it ended up. All right, on that note, this has been the Well Woman Podcast. I'm Dr. Laura.
And I'm Ashley. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Bye.